Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, Scott German. We're going to talk about Virginia's 59-56 win over Pitt. Our hearts have finally calmed down. The doctors have given us the go-ahead to be able to do this podcast, which is pretty much what we needed. Virginia led by 13 with 3:20 to go. Roughly 3:20 to go, and Pitt got all the way back to two, missed a free throw after an and one that would have got it to one. Virginia only scores 1 point in the last 2:41, but gets the win. So, up until that point, it was a great performance by Virginia. Led most of the second half by double digits, and then they had to hold off a furious rally by Pitt. Scott, your doctor has given you the go-ahead to do this podcast, so give us your thoughts here after this game.
Yeah, the medicine has kicked in, so I'm good for, a couple hours at least, you don't want to apologize for winning, and somehow this team finds a way to win despite, getting this party after rest at times, but I've said it, we both said it over and over and over this year. It's a testament to just how good of a coach Tony Bennett is. He's got these kids believing in themselves, and even though they go through these lapses, they find a way to win. And at the end of the day, that's what you judge by. And they're coming home to Charlottesville with another road win in the ACC under their belts and one step closer to, I thought that medicine had kicked in, one step closer to securing that coveted fourth seed in the ACC tournament. And, we can't lose sight of that. That's the end result. And we picked up the win.
And this is a Pitt team that in that arena beat Florida State this year. Florida State's only got four losses coming into today. They lost one of their four losses is at Pitt. This is a team that played Duke tough in Cameron Indoor Stadium. They've now lost four straight in five of their last six. That's seven of their last nine they've lost. But I heard this on a broadcast the other night. In fact, watching the end of the Duke NC State game the other night, when you're Duke, you're always going to get the other team's best shot. Virginia's, I think we know this now. The last few years we've been getting that, but it's even more so when you're the defending champs. And, that place was quiet for much of the second half. When Virginia got that double digit lead, Pitt only had 2 points the first 8 minutes of the second half. It got quiet in there. But when they hit that three after the steal, McGowan hit the three after the steal of the inbounds pass to get it from immediately almost from 13 to 7. They had an and one. They stole the inbounds pass, hit a three, and it goes from 13 to 7 just like that. The place went ballistic because they smelled blood. And, it's not easy for a team to have that big lead. You're coasting the announcers. I mean, people who listen to this game, watch this game, listen on TV, it was all but done. A 13-point Virginia lead inside of 3.5 to go, the game's over. And then you've got to turn it back on real quick. That is not easy to do. And so most teams lose this game. Have that kind of an advantage, and then the other team is rallying late, and the crowd's going crazy, everything else. Ugly as it was, Virginia found a way to win. So, hats off to that group. It shows the resiliency of the group, and they only needed the 1 point in the last. They really didn't even really need the 1 point, but the Braxton Key free throw at least gave a little bit more cushion there. But man, yeah. That's my takeaway. It's I'm trying to find the positive here, but the positive I'm finding is that Pitt had everything going its way those last three plus minutes and still came out a loser at home.
Yeah, and like I said, the positive is simply they're probably on the bus heading to the airport with a win, not having the demoralizing loss in which they squandered a big lead. They're coming home to Charlottesville to win. And young kids like that, they have short memories. And so, it works the other way, too. You said Pitt had come into the game, three-game losing streak, really not playing for enough for a lot, probably, maybe NIT at best, probably not even that. But, it's a, it, It was a new day. That was not like playing in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. That was a big, I looked at the final box. It was over 10,000 there. At times they were very loud. It was a noon tip-off. So, you know, that would have been a great start to their Saturday had they beaten Virginia. But they didn't. They didn't. Virginia comes home 59-56 winner, and one step closer to that fourth-place finish, depending on what state does tonight, could give us a three-game bonus from four to play, all but with Clint the fourth place. You know, what concerns me a little bit, and I'll get your thoughts on this, is the way that UVA, aside from the way that we finished the first half against Boston College, but the way Virginia finishes halves and ends of games. And today, we were up 26-19 with a little over 4 minutes to play the first half. Fifth finished the half on a 10-5 run. Two layups, a three-pointer to make it a close game at half. And then the collapse down the end of the game, we were up, you know, 4 minutes ago, a little over 4 minutes ago. We were about 13, 54-41, picked on a 15-5 run, three layup, 2-3. So the last 8 minutes and some change of 4 minutes and so, first half, 4 minutes ago, 4 minutes and some change in the second half, we're up scored 25-10. What do you make of that? Or do you make anything of it? That we somehow often just don't finish halves well, and sometimes we have to hang on by our fingernails to win a game when it shouldn't have been that close.
I look at today as a function of the first half. The whole game was called terribly, I felt, by the crew there today. And I say it for this reason. The way Pitt was defending Virginia in this game, it reminded me of UMBC. And people who obviously we remember those initials. UMBC was allowed to prevent Virginia. The Virginia offense is a motion offense. It runs off screens. UMBC in that game and Pitt today, Wold Atenesi was being held constantly. Whoever was guarding him was grabbing his shirt, grabbing his arms, grabbing his hands, and not letting him through screens. And not getting called for it. And then yet, at the end of the first half, we had two guys on the bench, Jay Huff and Mamadi Diakite, with two fouls each. They only played 9 minutes each in the first half. And Pitt had those fouls to give to make it hard for us to get a shot off at the end of the first half regulation. I felt like that was a function of not having your best players on the floor because of foul trouble. In fact, Wold Atenesi got a second foul. That chintzy foul with the shot clock running out, that he got called for bumping into a guy as he's releasing a shot at the shot clock buzzer. Not being called the same both ways, to say the least. And it was really Virginia's disadvantage. When you run a motion offense and the opposing team is allowed to grab your ball handlers. K.A. Clark constantly being clutched. He had six turnovers in the game, but I'm going to excuse that because he was being manhandled. It was a hockey game out there. We didn't have our best players on the floor. The late collapse was, I really think it comes down to that one play, the sloppy play. That was the one turnover that was really sloppy. Actually, there were two because K.A. had another one earlier in the half, where he tried to find, for some reason, tried to throw the ball right down the middle of the floor to Jay Huff, and there were three Pitt defenders in the way. But the turnover on the inbounds after the and one that got it down to 10, that was a sort of a perfect storm. I mean, they steal the ball, they get an open three, they make it. If they missed a shot, Virginia rebounds it. I think we win the game by 15 points, but we don't. They make the shot and get confidence. The place gets loud and everything else. So I would write today off as just those factors. You don't have Diakite and Huff on the floor. You had to play Francisco Cafaro, who was not effective today. Just not effective today. You love the kid. He tries hard. He just wasn't effective today. And then the late collapse was as much about Pitt getting confidence and getting a loud crowd behind it than it was about Virginia doing anything else. So I'll write it off that way. You're right, though. I mean, you point out that, that they ended the halves that way. I look at it like, it was other factors, I think, at play.
Tony I'm looking at the final stats here, and I was trying to pick something up positive from our bench play. Casey Morstel had a, he played 24 minutes. I think that was encouraging. And then there was some talk that he might not even play in the game. Ended up with 7 points, but we got nothing from Castro and nothing again from Statman, who was ineffective in 15 minutes. He didn't get credited for a turnover or charged for a turnover, I guess, but there was a sloppy play in the first half where he looked like he just dribbled the ball off his foot. I mean, Tony is getting the most out of what he's got, and if you look at the stats, he got 4 players in double figures tonight. Well, Vicente did not have a particularly good night shooting, 4-10 overall, but he gave up with 10 points, you know, in 33 minutes. So, balanced scoring effort. I'm not looking to get horse in the mouth. You know, we won a game that we could have somehow or another found a way to lose at the end, but we held on, had enough to hold on to come home with a win, and that's all I'm looking at right now, is just not trying to get too analytical about it. The big fact is, most important fact is that we got the W.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't usually work out. I mean, I'm looking at the trends. I got the stat broadcast up. Pitt goes 6 of its last 8 from the floor. Virginia's 2 of its last 13 from the floor. You don't win too many games that way. you know, Virginia didn't score a field goal in the last 3:06, just 3 free throws. I mean, you don't win a lot of games that way. So, so some positives there. Maybe we can change, because I was all ready to analyze this game, and then that last 3 minutes just threw everything off from an analysis standpoint, and it becomes more of a, let's talk about the psyche of things kind of thing. So I wrote a column yesterday, Scott. I don't know if you got to see it or not. A lot of talk about within UVA Nation and then just in general college basketball about bubble status. They talked about it during the broadcast today. So anybody listening to this podcast who watched the TV broadcast, it continues to vex me that this team, now 11-5 in the ACC, now 19-7 overall, is at all, like, you know, this talk about Joe Lunardi saying if they lose this game, they're going to be in the first four. What the hell is wrong with the world today where a team is 11-5 in the ACC? You know, right now, we know on Monday night somebody's going to lose between Louisville and Florida State. We're going to be a game behind one of those teams after Monday night about 9 o'clock. I don't get it. And I analyzed 5 other teams with similar records, similar resumes as UVA. The only thing different being, because you look at strength of schedule, I looked at Illinois, Iowa, Stanford, even VCU, who is just completely free-falling, lost again last night, and Texas Tech. Virginia, the best record of the bunch right now. Their strength of schedule, 3rd of the 6 in the group, comparable to the other 2 ahead of them in the group. 11 wins in the ACC, and somehow we're the ones on the bubble. What in the hell is wrong with our world now? You know, is up down, is right wrong, or cats dogs? I don't get this.
I don't either. And here's the thing: if we're a bubble team, and for some reason Virginia doesn't want to make the tournament, unless somebody below us wins the ACC championship, then the ACC is only going to get 3 teams in the NCAA tournament, and I can't possibly imagine. I think the ACC is going to get 4, maybe 5, depending upon what state can do down the stretch. But I don't see it. I don't see us being a bubble team. I think that, you know, I love the analytics. I love reading it, but I just think that sometimes we put too much. We study these numbers too much, and what I agree with you. If we're a bubble team, then there's a lot of teams below us in the ACC that are just playing out the schedule because they're not going to stand a chance. You know, I wonder too. Me being kind of old school ACC basketball, and I'm kind of getting used to the way the format is for the regular season now, which I think is too many games, at least 2 too many games. But I look at without playing a full round robin schedule and playing sort of a unbalanced schedule at times, I wonder how much that goes into the overall look of a team as far as what the committee sees. I don't know. You probably know what I'm trying to, how I'm going with this, where I'm going with, hopefully you do, because I'm kind of struggling through it right now. But, I mean, there's teams that are playing Duke twice, North Carolina twice, or we're getting Duke once this year, North Carolina twice, and this is the year we're playing North Carolina twice. Well, it doesn't help you because they're down. And, you know, so nobody's playing kind of a comparable schedule. I just wonder if that factors into the committee at all, that it's not a round-robin schedule in many of these conferences.
I don't know, because other conferences do the same. I mean, you know, it's the Big Ten, I believe, is in a 20. The Big Ten's been in a 20-game schedule, I believe, for a couple of years. And the big conferences are big. You know, there's no way around that. So you're not going to play everybody twice like we did back in the good old days. And it is, that is what it is. Whatever value that statement has is, I have people asking me if 20 games is too much, you know, shouldn't they be playing two more non-conference games? I tend to think that from a scheduling standpoint, from a strength of schedule standpoint, that two more conference games is a lot better than playing two more cupcakes. And so I think that in the end that should help. But what gets me about, because we're talking specifically about the ACC here. What's interesting when you start looking around, because I did this yesterday, and I spent way too much time for a story that was going to have very limited shelf life. Because as soon as they start playing games today, it's already old news in a sense. But the analysis is right there. What I was seeing speculated online in various capacities, a lot of among other UVA writers who, you know, what inspired me to do this look was seeing other UVA writers on Twitter saying basically, what is going on? You know, and I figured, well, I'll put my analytical mind to it. I'll do some digging and I'll see. But among the speculations is, you know, you look at the Big Ten. And the Big Ten seems to have gamed the system, and I can't figure out how, because I mentioned I looked at two Big Ten teams who have similar profiles as UVA, Iowa, Illinois. Iowa's 19-8 and ranked well ahead of us in the metrics. Illinois 16-9 and ranked well ahead of us in metrics. You know, the frustrating thing is that their strength of schedule is actually, I mean, Iowa's is worse than Virginia's, and Illinois is only marginally better than Virginia's, and yet somehow – when you look at similar Virginia with better records than both, better strength of schedule, you know, 15, 20 spots behind in the metrics. Now you can, and you can say you don't like the metrics, but here's the problem with that. The NCAA Tournament Selection Committee uses five different metrics to help them through this process. And so whether you like them or not, they use them. And so, yeah, there's got to be a factor of eye test that they're not telling you about. But they say they're using five, and that includes the ESPN BPI, which I've got up here, not updated through today's games. Ken Pom's already updated. Frustratingly, Virginia goes from 51 to 49 with today's road win against a team that Ken Pom said we weren't going to beat today. The NET ranking, which replaced RPI, has Virginia moving up one spot to 50. It was at 54, I think I had it at. VCU has lost four straight, 5 of 6, 7 of 9. They're two spots behind us. That's great. VCU, who's 3-8 against quadrant one and quadrant two teams. Virginia now 8-6 in those games. There's a team in the Big Ten, Minnesota, starting play today 12-13 overall, a losing record. They're ahead of Virginia in all these metrics. So obviously the metrics are off, and we can complain about them being off. But unfortunately for us, the selection committee uses these metrics. So I think what we're seeing here is it's kind of reminding me a little bit of how our, and I'm going to bring politics in for just a second, then I'll get right back out of politics. But, you know, twice in the last 16 years, we've had presidents elected by a plurality, losing the overall popular vote, but winning the Electoral College. There's a thumb on the scale. There's something wrong here. We know it, but what do you do to fix it, I guess, is the thing. And I don't know that there's an answer to that, but it's all I can say is it's off, and it's clearly off.
And the answer to all this is just keep winning.
Just keep winning, yeah.
Because if we keep winning, then this, all these are just topics for the talk shows and fodder for the talk shows. You win, and that cures everything. I love to look at these analytics, but at the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the only one I really care about is we're 11-5 in the ACC. We're 19-7 overall. Yeah, we had some games. We had some other losses. You know, the Purdue game, the South Carolina loss. Those are just, no matter how you stack it, those are ugly losses. But we've had some good wins. The Florida State win at home. Should have beaten Florida State down at Tallahassee, but we're playing well. We're finding ways to win. We're finding ways not to lose somehow today. Had that game gone another 20 seconds, then who knows? But for now, it's like 40 minutes, not 40 minutes and 20 seconds, or 40 minutes and 10 seconds. And Tony continues to be just that master chemist on the sideline. He just finds ways to put the right, have the right rotation in, have the right players on the floor. And to me, that's just another feather in his cap to show how fortunate we are to have a coach like him on the sidelines. And next year, when there are hopefully more skilled offensive players, it might even be more challenging for Tony. This might be a little, actually, easier for him, because he's only got so many bodies to deal with, and you just got to get the most out of those bodies. And just having them in the game or not in the game at the right time is what's fueling this right now.
The good thing about so we won, and it wasn't pretty at the end, but we won. The good thing about playing the 12 o'clock tip, the bad thing about a 12 o'clock tip on Saturday is, man, it just feels like you wake up and you're getting ready for a basketball game. The good thing is now the whole weekend's easy. Life's easy for a while now. In fact, we don't play again until Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in Blacksburg at Virginia Tech. Take a left at the Sheep Farm and you'll find the arena.
Extra can or two with you.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe take a salt tablet so you can properly greet the sheep there as you're going by. There's some big games today. You talked about NC State. Actually, that NC State game, at NC State, they got Florida State. Honestly, either way that goes, from our fan standpoint, now either way that goes, fine. If NC State wins, yeah, they're still within two games of us for fourth place. But also that means Florida State loses, and that means we're a game closer to Florida State. I mean, we're talking about just finishing fourth. Hey, there's still a possibility of something else happening here. Louisville's got Carolina at home. Louisville's, they did a right to ship the other night. They impressive win over Syracuse, but Carolina has got to be throwing the towel in at this stage after the heartbreak they've had, all these last second losses. But it's still Carolina. They still wear the Carolina blue. Tonight, 8 o'clock, Duke at Virginia Tech. All the metrics say big Duke win. Excuse me, Duke hosting Virginia Tech. They already played in the barn there. And Virginia Tech actually led for a good part of that game, but the loss lost big at the end. It's still Virginia Tech. And so either way that one goes. Hey, if Virginia Tech loses, then it's a good day, and any day Duke loses is a good day. So we probably won't watch much of that one as Virginia fan base, because you have to alternate between retching retching, I guess. But there's some big games. There's some games where things are going to happen behind us, things are going to happen ahead of us, and we can just sit back and relax now and let the other teams beat each other up for the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's funny how we become tunnel vision, being ACC fans. We're talking about big games, and we didn't mention the biggest game of all on the national landscape was Kansas Baylor, which was also a 12 o'clock tip. So, and that was over. I think Kansas defeated Baylor, I believe.
Yeah, they did.
Probably.
Yeah.
But being in the ACC, being ACC fans, all we're concerned with is what's happening in their own league. But that was a big game. The NC State game, I really don't think it's going to behoove us any to finish third. I'd rather just get that, move one step closer to getting that double bye, which would, you know, if State loses today, that gives us a three-game bulge with four to play and all that clinches it. We win one game, and I guess we clinch it. But it is fun, so the rest of the day we can just kind of sit back and enjoy basketball.
Yeah, we can. And, you know, I will put my ACC hat on for a second. I don't want just four in a tournament. I want five, if possible, and State is the only other team at this stage. You start looking up and down the roster there. You know, Notre Dame has the only record that even looks like it could be a possibility. They're 16-10, you know, and they've got Miami tomorrow. I mean, Notre Dame could maybe win out or you know, do something interesting down the stretch and play their way closer. But, you know, I do want – it's, you know, we might have just four in the tournament. I'd like five, maybe six, you know, four might – as long as we're one of the four. I know it doesn't, you know, from a Virginia fan standpoint, but, you know, I'm an ACC guy too. So either way that one goes, you know, again, if NC State wins, then they get maybe a step closer to, you know, securing a bid. And if they lose – then yeah, then we're closer to wrapping up the four spot and making it easier in Greensboro. I think we're going to win the four spot anyway, so maybe in that context, let's get a little closer to the top. But either way it goes, it doesn't matter. You know, other stuff I got today, man, this is a great sport today for me. It's only 3 o'clock as we're wrapping up this podcast. At 6 o'clock on Masson, I get to see Max Scherzer plunk an Astro because they're playing the first spring training game of the year at 6 o'clock on Masson. And then Crystal and I are watching and having some folks over. Scott, you'd be invited if you weren't 45 miles away if you want to come. We're watching the Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury fight tonight. So big sports day, just got started, and it's, you know, it's going to be a lot easier now. Now that Virginia's got that win. So heart's beating regularly again. I'm just checking my heart rate. It was about 90. Now it's down to back in the 50s where it should be. So I'm good there. And what else do you have planned for the rest of the day, weekend, Scott?
Nothing.
Nothing. All right.
Just watching basketball, maybe watching some brainless TV and just enjoying it. And not thinking at all about the trip that our guys have got to make down the beach for the Orange tonight. That is just not something I'm looking forward to, because we know how that's gonna be a nightmare, win or lose, for our guys to go down there and play. So I'm not gonna allow myself to go there. Just gonna sit back and enjoy the rest of the day.
Yeah, enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. If you're driving, if anybody listening out there is driving by the Augusta Free Press office around 6 o'clock, you'll hear some beating of trash cans. That'll be me getting ready for the Astros. Looking forward to some fun there. Well, it's been a good day. Virginia won. That's all that matters. And for Scott German, Chris Graham, signing off. Wishing our Virginia fans who are listening in have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.